You've got all these spinning plates up in the air. Some of them are made of glass and some of them are made of plastic. Some of them are going to fall, and it's a matter of deciding which is going to fall and really working hard and intentionally to not let the glass plate fall.
Welcome to the Durango Joe's podcast, where we believe everyone deserves a smile, a warm greeting, and a great cup of coffee. My name is Trevor, and today I'm joined by Joe and Tiff. How are you both today?
I'm doing good.
I'm great.
Awesome. Now, we also have a special guest today on the mic, and she's been a longtime Durango Joe's employee, has ties, roots way back to the very beginning of Durango Joe's, and very much helped develop the company from those early days in a number of different ways, I understand. Now, if you've been following Durango Joe's since that very beginning, you may even recognize her name. She's Ashley Stroop. Joe, for those of us who haven't had the pleasure, though, of meeting Ashley until now, why don't you introduce her? Tell us a little bit about who Ashley, I guess, is or was to Durango Joe's and the relationship that she and her husband Mark built with Durango Joe's and you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, she was 19 years old. She was a sophomore in college. And when I got here in 2004, Leanne and I came, we kind of put feelers out to some college students on kind of getting a vibe of what a cool coffee shop would look like and names and things like that. Well, she ended up kind of being in this circle of people. And so that's where I first met Ashley. And you could tell right at the beginning, I'm like, I've got to go get her here. All right. This girl's on fire. She works hard. She's got good ideas. And I thought, this would be a perfect person to have on our team. And so, well, it ended up, it was a perfect person to have on our team. And I can't remember exactly, but the first night, right before we opened our first store, we stayed up. I mean, Ashley, myself, and my wife, and a couple other people, getting that place decorated, everything completely dialed in. And I know Ashley sent me, I mean, she was telling me what to do, and I would go do it. And she's like, go to Walmart. We need some stools for these high tables. And so I went to Walmart, picked out the cheapest stools I could find, and brought them back. And I can remember her kind of rolled her eyes and like, oh, great. Well, they weren't that good. They were really bad stools and they lasted about a week, but they got us open, you know. But Ashley stayed on board and really helped. And the other probably most prominent time working with Ashley was when we were to hire somebody else to help us run the company. And this guy's name was Mark. I think it was in the fall of 2004 when I said, I need to go interview this guy. I need you to come with me to just kind of get a second opinion. And so we go, I think it was to Applebee's to meet this guy. I haven't met yet. His name was Mark. He was like 6'3", 6'4", big, tall, skinny dude. And he had graduated from college. So he had some business experience. And we went, and I thought this was an interview for Durango Joe's. I think Ashley thought it was an interview of other sorts because eventually that relationship turned to not an employee, but they actually hooked up and got married.
Well, wow, we got some really good backstory there. Yeah. On that side. Tiff, you've also become close friends with Ashley through your experience, and I believe you guys first met through Durango Joe's. So tell me a little bit of background there on Ashley.
Yeah, I met her simultaneously at Durango Joe's as well as in a really fun, like, college girls, we get together and have dinner once a week at this lady's house, and it was just a really great time. So yeah, I met Ashley before she was married to Mark. They were dating at the time when I met her. And there's some background there as far as I remember sitting there next to her when she was like, I'm pretty sure Mark is the one, you know, so it's really fun. And she actually was one of the people who trained me as a barista at Durango Joe's. I came on in 2006, March of 2006. And that's when I was first meeting her. And that's actually when I first moved to Durango as well.
So you've heard a little bit about Ashley and the relationships she built with Durango Joe's from day one and onwards. So Ashley, it's my great pleasure to welcome you to the podcast. It's great to have you.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, I'm just over here giggling. Like, I just have such fond memories of those early days. It was just so fun.
Oh, absolutely. We're all grinning over here too, listening to it. So it's great.
I'm going to find out from Tiff if you were a good trainer. Okay, because Tiff came into the industry.
Oh, no.
And yeah, and so Tiff, give us that story.
My manager at the time who hired me was not actually Ashley, it was Janet Mosier. And but Ashley was working as a barista then and helped train me. She came out and really was a huge role model for me in knowing and learning people. And I'll never forget the first time I ever worked a shift on my own. It was a Sunday afternoon, and it was one of the busiest Sunday afternoons that store had experienced, College Drive, in a long time. I did almost $500 by myself after approximately 5 or 6 days of training. And I remember that night, I saw Ashley that night, and she was like, "How did it go?" And I was like, almost in tears, like, I did almost $500 in business. She was like, "What?"
By yourself?
I know. Like, wow, we had a really busy afternoon. I was like, oh, yeah, anyway, Ashley's the one who hired me then years later into the office, and I was her assistant in the office before she moved along. And Ashley is just one of those bright lights in this world that just makes you feel believed in and welcomed wherever you are, wherever you go. And she's the go-getter, but makes you feel inspired to be the go-getter just as much.
Oh, thanks, Tiff. So the same about you, girl.
That's awesome. Now, besides wearing many hats during your tenure with Durango Joe's, because you were not only a barista from day one, but, you know, with any startup, there's many hats to wear. But beyond that, you've had something like 6 highly diverse careers over the past decade or so. I understand you've been like a school teacher. You've been the owner of a flower shop. You've been in spine care. You've been, well, and now you're a high level executive at Rodin and Fields, which is, of course, dermatology. If that's not enough, you're also now a real estate broker. So I've got to ask, these are all in wildly different industries. And so how have you done that? And is there some sort of theme or through line that really connects your journey through these like wildly diverse careers?
I mean, I have wondered if I have ADHD and it was just never actually diagnosed. You know, there is that on the table here, but it sounds wildly diverse when you look at like the different industries that I've popped in and out of. But the truth is I've actually done the same job just at different places. And I think the thing that I have always, I think, believed in myself is that, and maybe to a fault, have kind of thought if I think I can do it, I just kind of jump in. And I think in all of these areas, starting at Durango Joe's, and I think that I credit a huge amount of my career path and success in life to just those early days with Joe. And I mean, as a 19-year-old, bringing me on and allowing me to just run and give me space to have creative ideas. And he like said, sure. You know, I mean, what a dream, right? I mean, you're a college student and you get to be a part of opening up a coffee shop. I mean, it was magical. I mean, it was just incredible. And I think found my niche a little bit there and just being a part of a community, feeling like I had a lot of value to give in starting businesses, helping streamline systems that work, and being really a big part of the community and tapping into what was needed as far as helping a company grow. And I think I've actually just done that exact same thing, just at different companies. You know, even with Rodin and Fields, I mean, yes, it's skincare, but it's the same basic principle. In real estate, this was a very similar thing to what happened with Joe. I just a broker that ended up coming over. He is the top broker in our neighborhood, and he has a brokerage firm just right on our Ave. And same similar situation. Like I have kind of found a spot in there and helping him kind of grow and scale and create systems that work. And he's been phenomenally successful anyway in the last 25 years. But it's been fun in this kind of new spot that he finds himself in to kind of take his business to a different direction. So that I think that's what I just found myself in every time. It's really the same gig. It's just in different industries.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So I understand you grew up in Durango. And so I'm just wondering if that theme was something that started early on in your life. Would you have been pegged as this kind of entrepreneurial type growing up? I'm thinking like lemonade stands, mowing lawns, Girl Scout cookie sales, stuff like that. Is there anything that pointed to that early days?
No, I wouldn't really say I did a lot of sales. I was really shy. I was actually a really shy kid. So I think it took me a little bit to like find my voice. I did work in small business in Durango. I think I worked at Towhatan Gallery because my mom was the CFO at the time there, and just worked like in the shop, and then found that I really loved being in April's Garden. In high school, I just interned there, and then I ended up working for her over the summer, and then that was the business that I actually eventually bought and ran. And then I think, I mean, and again, crediting Joe in large part, but I think really finding my place in that environment and realizing that I really loved business. I mean, looking back now, I remember as a freshman in college telling my mom I wanted to major in business. And like, I think I knew on some inner level that that was really interesting to me, but she was like, what are you going to do with it? Like, and I was like, I don't know, open a coffee shop. Like, so funny now looking back to be like, oh, that was really interesting. But then I ended up falling into kind of helping Joe, you know, create that. And that was just something that was so valuable and so fun. But I just think I didn't really have the support at the time. And so I ended up majoring in education and, you know, began teaching. And I think that ended up being something that I did walk away from and now have only been exclusively in business. But I think also nothing has wasted, because that education degree has helped me be a better manager, a better leader, a better trainer. You know, and I think that's the valuable thing about life. I think there's very few people, maybe not very few, but I think if we looked at the statistics of who actually stays in the path of that their maybe college degree set them in, I think that we would be like, I think we're probably pretty shocked, right? How many people don't actually end up.
Everyone's kind of a multidisciplinarian. And like you point out, there's nothing wasted when you're exploring the world that way and trying to take a bite out of every apple you see and see what you get.
Yeah.
So you were one of the first baristas hired at Durango Joe's, which we talked a little bit about, but I want to know what it was like in those early days of Durango Joe's, and how did that kind of fit into your college lifestyle, and what did you like about it?
Well, it was really funny. I mean, I remember, I think a lot of, like, now looking back, the things that I've done, I've definitely had, like, naysayers throughout my entire, you know, any path I've chosen, there's always people who think you're crazy. And it was interesting because I was able to watch Joe walk through that. People were like, you're opening up another coffee shop? Like, why? You know? And, you know, he saw the vision when people in Durango didn't see it. And it was so fun to be a part of him throwing himself into that. You know, he had a vision and an idea for something that just didn't exist and people couldn't see, but he could see it. And it was just wildly successful. Like, not that it necessarily, I don't remember it being like, I mean, I was never behind the financial part of it, but I just remember the community embraced us so quickly. And I think that was so fun to just watch us. I mean, that first year from day one, you know, staying up till midnight, you know, it was like a true story. Like, we literally, I mean, I don't know, it could have even been until 2 a.m. to try to, like, get it up and ready for opening day. And then we were all back at like 5:30 that next morning, right? Like, showered and ready behind the bar, like ready to serve coffee. But I mean, the adrenaline just got us through. And, you know, it was an incredible thing to be a part of. And then watching that grow to what now, see, when we left, it was 8 locations. And, you know, I mean, that's just incredible, right? So, I mean, Joe's amazing in his determination. And I've learned so much from him.
Well, Ashley, I remember, you know, in the beginning, you know, Mark, when he came on board, he filled a really, really big gap for us, because he became kind of the financial manager. And then he also was running the North drive-through, that little box we built that was so small. And he was running that, and it was you and Leanna and I, and that was it for the first 6 years almost, you know? And so without Mark, to be honest with you, and you to get this thing rolling, it would have never happened. And so when you say, you know, we were, I would call it running and gunning most of the time, because we were creating the whole time. That's all we did. Do you remember? I mean, it's like, we got to fix this. So let's create this system. We got to fix that, you know? So nothing was laid out for us. And at times I know that was extremely frustrating for you, going, why isn't there a template for this stuff? You know, there's other people that do this, but we had to create it on the fly. And that was kind of hard to do, but it was so rewarding, again, like you said, to get the feedback from the community when we did grow and people are going, you're nuts. There's already too many coffee shops in Durango. Uh-huh. What are you guys doing? And, and then we made the major leap to Farmington, you know, when they wanted a Durango Joe's, not a Farmington Joe's.
I just want to ask what it was like, because one of the many hats you wore was basically the marketing manager, creative manager, which is the role I'm currently seated in as well. So I just wanted to know what it was like specifically in that area, and especially establishing a coffee shop in a town and scaling it, especially like you talked about, people were kind of skeptical about a multi-location coffee shop in Durango. So I'd love to hear a little bit about what it was like, kind of marketing and trying to get the word out and building this base of customers. Cause now it's all very much word of mouth. Our fans do most of the work for us, fortunately. So I'm curious what it was like earlier on and what efforts you guys kind of came up with.
Well, I think that it all kind of started with, you know, Joe's vision to offer incredible customer service, you know, knowing our customers, making a drink even before they got to the counter. Like, that was a really big thing. I think that was something that Durango just hadn't really ever experienced before. I mean, customer service in Durango at that time was really mediocre, and I think it just had become kind of the status quo. So I think a massive part of our success, I mean, and Joe, tell me if you think I'm wrong, but I think was built on that belief that we actually really did care, wanted to care. We really do care about people, and we wanted to love them from the minute they walked into the coffee shop, knowing their name, knowing their drink, and building community with them. And I think that that was a massive reason why we were so successful so quickly. You can just feel that right from the beginning. For me, that was the most fun ever. I mean, like, yes, there were definitely moments of frustration, you know, in the fact that we didn't, you know, like going to Walmart the night before to grab bar stools. I mean, that was like how we played it out for like years. It was like, okay, we're opening up another location and we think we're going to hire a manager from outside, but how do we do that? And like, what's this? I mean, it was constant creativity. And so like, I think it's really fun that some of those like roles that I created are actually sticking, you know, because there were times where I think I would like fulfill a role and Joe and I'd be like, what should we call that? And I'm like, I don't know, let's call it creative manager, district manager, let's call it. I don't know, like we came up, I mean, those are ones that have stuck. I'm sure there's a bunch of ones I can't think of right now that didn't stick, but was always wearing a ton of hats and filling different roles. And then as we've scaled, having some of those actually become real life, you know, roles that are now being fulfilled, you know, as a consistent role within the company. And so that is incredibly fun, I think, to be able to, you know, do that and create those roles and see what flies and see what needs we need. And I think Joe's always been really open to wanting to better the company. So if you have an idea, you know, he'd say run with it. And so we'd run with it and see what happened. And I mean, I think that's also another reason why Joe's is so successful is, you know, Joe's constant ability to be open to new ideas and scaling and growing and grabbing people along the way and, you know, letting them run, you know, with their giftings.
I just have to say, you speaking of those roles, that was a time where, I mean, you threw out earlier in this conversation about working 4/10 so you could have a day off. And that was in the season of life where we traded childcare. Thinking back to that and just you fulfilling those roles, I mean, you actually fulfilled the creative manager role that Trevor sits in as a full-time position now, as well as a district manager, which we have two full-time positions for now. Yeah. And it's just absolutely incredible. You're like, yeah, I'm district manager and the creative manager. Now we have like three people who do those things.
hey, Ashley, I just want to say I'm sorry. as we review this, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what did we do?
Well, and I'm kind of curious because I do understand that when you did part ways, it was kind of a moment in time where it was like both of you, because since day one, you guys had kind of been almost, and especially with Mark there too, been partners in the business with Joe and Leanna. And so there was kind of a shared vision or shared ownership in a sense over the brand, over the company. And I understand there was kind of a point where it was like, well, someone's either going to have to compromise or different ways. So I'm a little bit curious what that dynamic was like.
I mean, I think it was, I mean, we love and admire Joe and Leanna so much. And I think Joe loves and admires us too. And I think that there is a point where you grow and you think, okay, I actually think we should go this direction. And they were kind of like, I think we should go this direction. And I think it was like, well, I think we want to move to Seattle. So we moved to Seattle, you know, and I think that was great. And I think, I mean, at least that, you know, I think it was time. It was, we had really had an incredible run, and it's been really fun to spread our wings and take everything that we had learned and all of the areas that we had been able to contribute and take that and then spread it elsewhere, you know. And I think be able to go grow things twice as big here, but all because of the baseline of what Joe had given us, allowing us to be a part of growing at such a substantial level growing during Joe's.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, that time was everything happens for a reason, and it was painful. I think for us, Leanna and I, and Mark and Ash, and so. But at the same time, you look back and you go, "Oh my gosh, look how successful these two people have become in their own right. They're doing their own thing. And that's what makes me so proud of these guys, is that they ran with everything they've learned and they've built on it, and they're successful. Their family, beautiful kids. And it's just, it's wonderful. Ashley rarely posts on Facebook, so it's hard to find out what's going on in their life. But Facebook is that kind of double-edged sword, because sometimes you see everything that they're doing, then you're like, well, I don't need to call them then, because I already know what they're doing.
Right? Yeah, it is.
And so, but we follow their life, kind of that direction. And I'm just so proud of them, and the things that they're doing and the impact that they're making is phenomenal. And that's really, one of the reasons why I want them on this podcast, is to highlight what they meant to us as people when they were a part of Durango Joe's, and also highlight what they're doing now. I mean, I think that's the real story. And that's fun for me. That's really fun, because they're two people of highly integral people that, love their kids. They love God. They love what they do. And that's special.
Yeah, I think so.
The one thing, though, I think at the end of the day, we're looking at this, and I'm asking Tiff, how do you ladies do this? I mean, your mothers, your wives, your workers, you guys do this thing all day long. How do you make time for it all, and how does it work?
Yeah, I think that's just a tricky thing. And I think, like, looking back at my career path of, producing and running April's Garden, and then, we ended up expecting our first child so early on in our marriage, that was not planned. And so having to then let go of that business, which I think, to just stick with our value set of wanting to, raise our children well, that has always been a huge part of my pivot, is that it is just harder. And I think, like the New York Times recently came out with, even like during COVID, like, who is this hitting the hardest? And it is the 30 somethings with kids, and I'm like, thank you. Because I feel that, totally. I feel that today when my three kids are home doing distance learning and I have two listings coming up, I'm running, I've got 1,000 people on my team and I cannot keep up, and I'm feeling distracted because every, 5 minutes somebody's like, mom, my Zoom thing is glitching, or I don't understand what she's asking. It's incredibly difficult. I think it's just, to be honest. And I think that's been a large part of my pivoting. And I also think it's been a large part of why I've been successful in the areas I've been successful, is picking companies that give me that freedom. And I think, Joe, you've always been so great. And I think it's probably a big reason, Tiff, that you've done so well also with Joe, is you always allowed me to shift my schedule if I needed. So I remember there were times where I worked 4 10-hour days, and then just to try and figure out ways that I could bulk in on the childcare and then have extended time for family. Or then I would say, that's not working, but I think I can get it done. And if we do this or this, or, my business with Rodan and Fields has been hugely driven by my desire to want to parent well and also create something really lucrative that also feeds my entrepreneurial spirit, and I think that has always been the baseline, is figuring out how to do both. And I think it is harder for women, for sure, in that area. And I think that, that women's career path will be more affected by COVID because you just can't do it all.
Right.
Yeah, I want to jump in here. I recently, in the midst of all this COVID, I saw something on Instagram, actually, of all places, where author Nora Roberts was talking about the juggling of home life and family life and work life. And her analogy was so great. She was talking about juggling balls, or you could actually talk about it like spinning plates. And it's like you've got all these spinning plates up in the air. Some of them are made of glass and some of them are made of plastic. Some of them are going to fall. And it's a matter of deciding which is going to fall. And really working hard and intentionally to not let the glass plate fall versus the plastic one. And it wasn't so much like choosing family over work, but there are glass and plastic plates in work and in family that really hit home, because it's like, sometimes I have to shift and I have to adjust and I have to let a plastic plate fall, where it's like, I told my kid that I was going to pick him up from school today, but that's just not going to happen because a glass plate would fall at work. So, I'm going to call their dad, or I'm going to call a friend, and that happens, And so it's just a lot of that juggling and keeping the things in the air that are important. But man, it's takes a lot of work every day. And I just really resonated with that whole example, because you can't do it all, to Ashley's point there. I mean, you literally, you cannot do it all. And so it's prioritizing every day and everybody's life at all times.
Well, we have a front row seat here, Trevor, right? To Tiffany.
Oh yeah.
And her life.
Oh yeah.
And she's got four wonderful kids that are growing fast. Literally though, you know, how do you make it happen every day? I mean, you do work Monday through Thursday mm-hmm. for the most part. And sometimes you actually work from home on Friday, but,
yeah.
but what does a normal day look like for you, Tiff?
Oh man. Well, before I even get into that, answering that, I have to say my biggest piece of advice for anybody juggling family and work life is get a village and get a village fast. They say it takes a village to raise a kid. And I feel like that village is even more important if you're going to juggle having a family life. You know, if my village listens to this, you know who you are, and I could not do this without them. And that is 100% true. But yeah, I mean, so this year has actually gotten so much easier. Three of my four are going to school in one place. So way less drop-offs this year, which is lovely. And I mean, Ashley said it earlier, Joe really does allow a prioritization of family. And that makes a huge difference for me. I know that I would not be able to do that without the flexibility to say, hey, I need to be with my kid for this appointment. Hey, my kid is sick. I thankfully, huge blessing, none of my kids have had any type of symptoms because with this COVID world we lived in, I'm like the first sign of a sniffle, I'm home for 2 weeks. So I'm thankful that everyone's stayed very healthy because it's a whole new world right now. So yeah, I would say that it takes my village. It takes lots of planning, lots of forethought, and a huge, I would say I'm very blessed to have an incredible partnership with my husband. We juggle a lot together and that's how we make it happen.
Ashley, what would you say? What advice would you give women out there that are, you know, in the same spot that you and Tiffany are in?
What Tiffany said, actually, I'd heard that same analogy with the juggling actually earlier this week. And I thought that is so valuable and so true. And I think there have been times where I have just had to let those, you know, plastic balls drop. And I think that's okay. And sometimes that's just friendships. Like I noticed at one point when I was working super hard to build my business, I realized really outside of that network of people, I didn't spend a lot of time with friends. And that's just something that I had to realize I had to let go of at that time. So there's always going to be sacrifice if you are driven to build a business and raise a family well. Those are your two priorities. And there will be things that have to be sacrificed. And I think you just have to be okay with that. I think partnership with your husband is huge. I think, Joe, just like you said, Mark was such an integral part of, you know, jumping into Durango Joe's and filling that hole. I mean, he has been that for me. Like behind every successful man is a partner, you know, who is helping him be successful. And it's the same thing behind every successful woman. There's also a man helping her be successful. And Mark has always been my partner in our life. And I mean, he sometimes I feel like does more around the house than I do. And he's just been phenomenal as my anchor piece. So I think that that piece is huge. But I also think what Tiffany said about a village is massively true. And picking, I mean, I've built a really successful career in a company that allows women to work on their own time. And I think that breathes life to the fact that this is really hard to do. And so I have felt that I've needed that. I've needed the flexibility to work when I can, but also be with my children when I can. And so finding companies like that, that can give you that time and also give you the breadth of like freedom to grow something as big and as wide as you want to me has been incredibly valuable.
Now, I want to take a moment to talk about Mark, just in light of where he's at. And when you guys moved to Seattle, he went back to school, right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He went back to, he went to UW to their Foster Business School and he got his MBA. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, let's just, you know, the elephant in the room when it comes to Mark is he's working for the big green logo. Is he still doing that?
Are we supposed to talk about that today?
We're going to bring it up. Because, you know, we don't want to not, you know.
I forgot to put Joe on the leash this morning.
That's right.
He has to bring it up.
So Mark is at Starbucks. Is that the truth?
He is.
Yes.
He is.
What does Mark do there?
You know, I mean, I think it has been so fun for him to have been such a, you know, a part of growing from the ground up a chain of coffee shops and then to be able to make, you know, this leap really more into the business world of this like massive, you know, coffee company and make a decision that affects thousands of stores. Like that to him has just been so fun. But of course, it also feels, I think, a little full circle because, I mean, what were we at Durango Joe's for 9-10 years? I mean, it's still a huge part of, you know, our adult life. And so I think having him, you know, be at Starbucks feels a little bit like coming home and just coming back to coffee. But it has been interesting. I mean, I would say the majority of the people that he works with in the corporate world, I hope I can say this, you know, most of the people there, at least, you know, in the headquarters, you know, they're, most of them are MBA grads and they haven't really spent a lot of time in coffee, you know, and it's like working behind the counter, working the nitty gritty of, you know, building that business. So that's been really fun for him, I think, to feel like he can kind of add in thoughts in the processes and the, even just the systems that they have because of his real life experience. But he's also become like the, like the latte art guru on the like 9th floor, you know, he's like up there making latte art. He's doing like coffee tastings, you know, he brought in Durango Joe's coffee and was like, I want you guys to taste test this against our, I mean, cause like, you know, I mean, it's not maybe the best coffee,
awesome.
But they have an incredible, you know, model.
Totally.
In other ways. So, yeah.
And I'll tell you, I'll say it out loud. I mean, if you're a coffee shop owner and you're not paying attention to Starbucks, you're probably losing out on a lot of different things that, you know, go on in the world of coffee, because Starbucks is really, they hold such a place in the coffee industry from the very beginning that you can't ignore them. And if you do, then you're losing out. So no, I'm super proud of Mark. I mean, big time proud of Mark that he's back in the coffee industry, doing what he's doing, loving what he's doing, more importantly.
Yeah.
And whether it's Starbucks or wherever, that's cool.
And I think it's a great example because a lot of people, I feel, use coffee as just like a stopgap, like as a barista, just kind of make some money while they're in college or something like that. And it's really cool. I love hearing stories of the people who have figured out how to take that and create a career that's lifelong and super fulfilling in those ways. Not that barista is not fulfilling, because there are elements of community and growth and so much in that area. But it was really cool hearing about what Mark has done and how he took his education, was able to maintain and stay in that coffee industry simply for that reason. Because I think a lot of people forget that there are pathways up and there's some really important and great work to be done.
Yeah, it's a huge industry. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm wondering, just looking back a little bit with everything that you've done, and we kind of even skipped over or like skimmed over some stuff, like you were a full business owner, you had bought April's Gardens, which is a flower shop here, and ultimately made the sacrifice of walking away from that because of wanting to start and really foster family. And then some other big jumping points, like we just talked about a little bit, you walking away from Durango Joe's and you and Mark deciding that it was time for him to pursue his MBA in Washington. And so you guys uprooted growing family and moved up there. And of course, now you've got some really big things happening with Rodin and Fields, as well as being a real estate broker. But looking back at that, do you ever wonder what it would have been like to settle in with either, whether it was the teaching or the Durango Joe's or being able to commit and continue owning April's Garden, and where that would have put you? Do you ever look back on that, or do you just kind of look forward at the next thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I haven't ever actually looked back and kind of thought that direction. I mean, there's been moments, especially I think anytime you start something new, there's just a ton of hard work. And there are moments there where I think just your fatigue hits you and you're like, what am I doing? But then, you know, you just push through and you have vision and heart. And I think the truth is that I just like building things, you know, and I think I get bored a little bit after they've kind of taken their. And so I think I feel most alive, and I think I give my best work and I have my most contribution when I'm building something new. And so I've really been grateful to be able to be a part of different businesses and building them. And so I think that is my gifting and that is what I love doing. And so, no, I don't think so. I think I'm kind of, that's why I'm always like, you know, jumping into the next build a little bit. And it definitely fuels me. And I like to work hard and I like to play hard. And so I think it's been really great. It's been fueling that way. You know, so no, not really, but I do take everything, parts of everything in my past, I think, and it is contributed to what I can offer today. And especially being on this podcast, you know, just giving so much credit to Joe, because, you know, I think especially in my life and, you know, what has allowed us to kind of be where we are right now, I credit a lot of that to Joe and what I've learned from him, and also just the chances that he took on me, you know, when I was young, you know, and being able to give me the space to grow. Yeah. So no, Not really.
Well, I know she probably maybe learned a lot of what to do, but she probably learned a lot of what not to do too.
There's some honesty.
Yeah, because every good leader takes away two things, what to do and what not to do, sometimes from their experiences. And both are super valuable in their growth, in your growth. And so that's awesome. Tiffany, do you have any last words for us of wisdom as a mom, a wife, someone who works their tail off every day and makes it happen?
I don't know if I have words of wisdom, but hey, if you're a mom and well, if you're a mom in general listening to this, but especially if you're a mom who works in the workforce listening to this, I would just say, I see you. I see you. I feel you. I don't have time to reach out to you because I am spinning too many plates in the air, but know that we're in this together and you're doing a great job.
Awesome.
Keep going.
Any final words, Ash?
Just keep going. You got it. I think the harder you work, the luckier you get, and put one foot in front of the other. And I think sometimes surviving the day is also enough and it will lead to the next.
Yes.
But Ashley, it has been a pleasure to have you on our podcast. And obviously you've been a part of the history here. And so you and Mark are treasured people that help lay the foundation. And I just want to say thank you to both of you. Tell Mark hi, and we look forward to seeing you down the road, seeing what things you're going to be doing, you guys.
Thanks for having me. Great. Great.
Thanks, everyone, for listening in to the Durango Joe's podcast. And thanks to Ashley for joining us this week to talk about the early days at Durango Joe's, how to juggle family and careers, and so much more. I think it's a great reminder for us to thank those connections and tribes we've built and be grateful if we have a partner in our life, whoever he, she, or they might be. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider taking a moment to rate and review and consider sharing it with someone who could learn from the message. The Durango Joe's podcast is produced and published by Durango Joe's Coffee. In this episode, you heard from CEO Joe Lloyd, culture manager Tiffany DeBoer, and former Joe's employee Ashley Stroop. It was written, recorded, and edited by yours truly, Trevor Ogborn. Durango Joe's, love people, love coffee.
So you and Mark probably, I think, if I'm right, you guys had an anniversary recently?
We did.
Yes. So happy anniversary, first of all. And then
thank you.
What year is it?
It was our 14th.
14th. Jeez.
First Durango Joe's love story, but not the last. I mean, how many came out of Durango Joe's?
Right.
Many, many, many love stories have come out of Durango Joe's.